As I mentioned this morning, I want to draw your attention to the story that we have read together, the story of Bartimaeus, and consider some lessons from a blind man. Mark chapter 10, beneath verse 46 through to the end of the chapter, verse 52. Will not take time to read the verses again. I trust the record here is familiar to us. If you want to highlight one verse of Scripture, it would be verse 50 of the chapter. Verse 50, he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. Lessons from a blind man. And with that chapter open before us, let's just bow in a further word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for tonight. We thank thee for a gathering together of people under the sound of thy word. We bless thee for these old hymns of Zion that we've been singing. We bless thee, Father, for thy great goodness and mercy and love toward us. We thank thee tonight for all that we have in Christ. We ask our God just now that thou would speak to our hearts. Bless thy word unto us, we pray. We ask our God if there are those here who are not saved, that thou would speak to them with power. Save them by thy grace, we pray. Continue with us now, Lord. Put thy word into my mouth, I pray. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The closing verses of Mark chapter 10 describe one of the most pitiful and pathetic characters in all of the Bible. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, is not remembered for his great position in society. He's not remembered for any special exploit in history. He's certainly not remembered for any contribution he made to his family. Rather, he's remembered as a vagabond who lay by the wayside in the outskirts of the city of Jericho. For all intents and purposes, Bartimaeus lived a wretched, dismal, hard, miserable, and forsaken life. Everything seemed to be against this poor individual. You think of his place. This man lived in the city of Jericho. And Jericho was known as the city of the curse. Whenever God delivered this city into the hand of Joshua, way back in the Old Testament, into the hand of Joshua and his army, he pronounced a solemn warning against any man who would seek to rebuild it. Joshua chapter 7 verse 26 records the chilling sentence where God said, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho." Yet this was the very place where Bartimaeus lived. He lived in a place that was under the curse. He lived on cursed ground. The condemnation of God was upon this city. There was nothing favorable. There was nothing blessed. There was nothing good about it. That was his position. That was his place. Notice also his problem. Bartimaeus was blind. This man lived in a world of incessant darkness. There was nothing to cheer his day, nothing to brighten his life, nothing to dispel the blackness. Day after day he stumbled on without sight. Oh, he had eyes, but he could not see. He was surrounded by beauty, but he could not enjoy it. He lived in the world, but he could not look upon the world. Bartimaeus was afflicted with one of the most disturbing and distressing afflictions of all. His sight was gone. Then add to that his poverty. He was nothing more than a beggar. He couldn't work. He couldn't earn a living. He had no means of gaining riches or meeting his own needs. Rather, he spent his dark days by the roadside begging for scraps and for crumbs and for coins from those who passed him by. He begged for his life depended on his begging. This man, Bartimaeus, was nothing more than a blind, hopeless, beleaguered, forlorn, harassed, struggling, and poor man. One of the most pitiful, one of the most pathetic characters in all of the Bible.
To be blind is bad,
but to be blind and poor at the same time is 1,000 times worse. And so it was with Bartimaeus. To take the words of the hymn writer, nothing seemed hopeful, nothing seemed glad, all was despairing, even time sad. And if you would have gazed upon Bartimaeus, sitting there in his ragged garments, begging by the wayside, he seemed to be a hopeless case. Who could help him? Who would care for him? Who would or who could do anything for him? Who could ever reverse his situation and bring this blind beggar of Jericho into blessing? Who would ever heed his cries for mercy? And who would or who could give this man sight? The answer certainly didn't lie with man, for Bartimaeus was beyond human intervention. Like the woman with the issue of blood, there wasn't a doctor, there wasn't a human specialist, there wasn't a human expert who could bring light into this man's darkened life. In every sense of the word, poor, blinded Bartimaeus was beyond human intervention. But thank God he wasn't beyond divine intervention. And that's what the closing verses of this chapter is all about. For as Bartimaeus sat by the roadside on the suburbs of Jericho, he had a glorious encounter with Jesus Christ that changed his life forevermore. My friend tonight, listen, that's the need of every unconverted soul in this building. I've talked a little about the physical condition of this man. He's a blind beggar. He's in a place noted as a place of the curse. But those things are just a mirror of your spiritual condition. As 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 states, the God of this world has blinded your mind. And tonight as you sit outside of Jesus Christ, you cannot see spiritual things as you should. You do not receive the things of God as you need to. You're living in a world of sinful blackness and darkness. You see no beauty in Christ that you should desire Him. You're blind, spiritually blind, to the most important things of all. Blind to the glory of an almighty God, and blind to the need of your never dying soul. And add to that fact that in the eyes of God you're poor and empty. You have nothing to offer God in and of yourself. What riches can you offer a holy God? My friend, ask yourself the question, what spiritual wealth do you possess? You have nothing to offer Him by way of merit. Every sinner is marked with a deep poverty and a deep ruin of soul. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, we fell in Adam and we lost everything. But the glorious news of the gospel is this: you can be saved. And that darkness, that blindness, that poverty, that want, that despair, that distress can be dealt with by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And if the story of Bartimaeus teaches us nothing else tonight, it surely underscores the great truth that Jesus Christ is willing, and Jesus Christ is able, and Jesus Christ is ready to deliver the darkest and the poorest soul, and deliver that soul for time and for eternity, and save that soul forevermore. The story of Bartimaeus is a fascinating one. And I want to trace his steps tonight as this man passes from darkness into light. Because what you have here is a story of the wonderful saving grace of Jesus Christ. Notice with me first of all here, in the first lesson from a blind man, that Bartimaeus recognized the great compassion of Christ. He recognized the great compassion of Christ. As a blind man, there were many things that Bartimaeus did not know, things he couldn't understand. things he could not imagine, things that just meant nothing to him. To be blind
is to be robbed of so many experiences
and robbed of so much knowledge. And yet there was at least one thing that Bartimaeus had come to understand. There was one thing that he had no doubt about. There was one thing that this poor blind beggar had come to understand. One thing he had learned, and it was that Jesus Christ was full of mercy. I don't know, I cannot tell how much he knew about the character of the Savior, but he certainly knew about the compassion of the Savior. That's why he says in verse 47, notice what he prays, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus Christ was full of grace and love. He understood that Christ had pity for the poor and mercy for the forsaken. He knew that Christ was the sympathizing Jesus. He knew that his ear was open to the cry of the destitute and that he had a heart for the poor and the needy of this world. Bartimaeus was convinced in his soul that Jesus Christ was full of mercy. I'm persuaded that he came to realize this by what he heard. After all, he couldn't see, but he could listen. And the fame of Christ had spread throughout the land. People were talking about his miracles, how he had raised the dead to life, how he had healed the sick, how he had cured the leper, how he had stilled the storm, how he had answered prayer, how he had fed the multitudes, how he had delivered the demoniacs. And news had spread of Christ's mighty and miraculous works. And Bartimaeus had heard of them, and he believed what he heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more this man heard, the more he was convinced that Christ was full of loving and saving and delivering mercy. And so when Jesus Christ passed by on his way through Jericho, Bartimaeus held on to that opportunity, and he cried out for mercy for himself. And even when men tried to silence him, he takes up the same prayer in verse 48, crying out, a great deal more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. This man recognized that there was mercy with the Lord. And my friend, listen to me. There still is. There still is mercy with the Lord. I know the devil argues against us. And I know it may well be the case in the hearts of some here that the devil has been alleging into your heart and into your mind that there's no hope for you. And the devil has been suggesting to you that you cannot be saved. That Jesus Christ is a stern Savior. That he's full of wrath. And Jesus Christ would never receive you. But my friend, listen, the devil is a deceiver. Christ is full of mercy. Why do you think he left the glories of heaven and came to this sin-cursed world? Why do you think that Christ lived among wicked and evil men? Why do you think he went to Calvary and laid down his life a ransom for many? Why do you think Christ endured the cross, despising the shame? Why do you think he gave up his soul as an offering for sin? Why was Christ afflicted? Why was he bruised? Why was he wounded for our transgressions? Why do you think Jesus Christ offers a full and a free pardon from sin? Why do you think he invites sinners to come to him? My friend, the answer is simple. It's because he is full of mercy. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, you have these tremendous words. The prophet says in verse 18, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger Because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham. In the short space of 3 verses, the prophet mentions twice the mercy of God. The mercy in God, the fact that he delights in mercy, and on the ground of his mercy, he pardons iniquity, and he puts away transgression, and he saves the soul. And my friend, that's the entire message of the Bible, that there's mercy with the Lord. Remember how it was with Lot? He had received a word from God that God was going to judge Sodom. He was going to rain fire and brimstone upon it because of its sin. And the angels came in the morning that it was going to happen, urged Lot to flee, but Lot lingered. And then verse 19 or verse 17, you have these words, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Lot was being told to flee. What was the basis of that plea? What was the ground of that appeal to Lot? Well, verse 16 gives us the answer. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his 2 daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Or the Lord being full of mercy to that man. And Lot was delivered from Sodom by the mercy of the Lord. Psalm 25 and verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy. Oh, never listen. Never listen to the lie of the devil when he says there's no mercy for you. This man, Bartimaeus, understood there was mercy with the Lord. That's why he prays, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible presents a loving Savior. The Bible presents a forgiving Savior. The Bible presents a saving Christ. It presents a delivering Christ. One who has mercy for souls. You think of the dying thief. That man who on the morning he was crucified reviled Christ, mocked him, slandered him, scorned him. And then as time passed, he understood who Christ was, and he understood his own sin. And looking across to Christ, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." In the very last moments of his life, there was mercy for that man. You need to see this tonight. My friend, there's mercy in the Lord. There's mercy with the Lord for the vilest offender. And Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, he recognizes the great compassion of Christ. He knows there's mercy to be gained from the Son of David, from Christ the Son of God. Notice also Bartimaeus responded to the gracious call from Christ. This whole episode concentrates not so much on the condition of Bartimaeus as it does on the command or the call to Bartimaeus. Look at verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, "A great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And you notice how very carefully there how often the word call appears in verse 49. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. There's the first incident. Then verse 49 goes on to say, and they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Three times the word call appears in the verse. And follow this very carefully. Christ commanded others to call Bartimaeus. That's what verse 49 says. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He told men to call Bartimaeus. They relayed the message. They told him to come. So verse 49 goes on to say, they called the blind man. And this is what they said to him, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. They called him. But in the final analysis, it was the Lord himself who called this man. Yes, the servants or the disciples, they issued the call. They uttered the words. But the call was a divine one. The call came with divine authority. Bartimaeus was commanded by Christ through his servants to come to Christ. And that's something to remember. The call of the gospel is not merely the call of a man. When you're urged to come to the Savior, I want you to understand this. It's not my call. It's the call of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's more than just a call. It's a command from Christ himself. When it says there in verse 49, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. It was a command from Christ. Therefore, when you reject the gospel invitation that I extend to you in the name of Christ, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting Jesus Christ. But Bartimaeus responded to this call. In verse 50 it says, he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. You'll notice there that he came despite the opposition of the people. There were many there that day that did not want this blind man to deal with Jesus Christ. They tried to hinder him. They tried to oppose him. They charged him to be quiet. They sought to dissuade him. They argued with him that he should simply hold his peace. Look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Bartimaeus, be quiet. Bartimaeus, that's enough. Bartimaeus, no more from you. We're charging you now. Hold your peace. Do not disturb the Christ of God. And they spoke sharply to him. They admonished him. That's what the word charged means. Here are those, and they're opposing Bartimaeus calling upon Jesus Christ. They didn't want him coming to the Savior. You have something very similar in Acts chapter 13. Paul has come to the Isle of Cyprus. He's come to the place called Paphos, and there he meets with a man called Sergius Paulus. He's the deputy of the country. And this official man has a very great interest in the things of God. He wants to listen to Paul preach. And as he's listening to Paul preach, the sorcerer of the place comes along, a man called Elymas. And Elymas begins to withstand the deputy of the country. And the Bible says in Acts 13 verse 8 that he desired to turn him away from the faith. There you have this servant of God, and he's witnessing to a lost soul. Paul the mighty apostle is witnessing to the deputy of the country. And here's this agent of the devil, this child of wrath. And he comes in to try and turn the man away from the faith. Why? Because the devil doesn't want men to come to Christ. He doesn't want souls to be saved. And my friend tonight, listen, the devil doesn't want you to come to Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to call on Christ for salvation. The devil wants to damn your soul in hell forevermore. But despite the crowd, Bartimaeus responded. The crowd said, hold your peace. But this man was bold in his determination. Nothing was going to keep him from Jesus Christ. And my friend, you need to be the same. You need to strive to enter in. Do not rest until you rest in Christ.
Do not stop until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Forget the clamoring of the crowd. Maybe it's a word from a wife telling you, no, don't be getting saved. Maybe it's a word from your husband saying, no, don't come to Christ. Maybe there's a fear of your friends or a fear of those you work with. And the devil's thought is, no, hold your peace. My friend, it's time you came to Christ, despite the opposition. Despite the words of the devil, despite the cries of the crowd, come to Christ. He came by faith as well. You think of it like this, Bartimaeus was willing to come to a man he had never seen. Oh, he heard about Christ, but he had never seen him. He was willing to put his entire trust in a Savior he had never set eyes upon. But this was not blind faith. He had heard that Christ was passing by and he trusted in Christ. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Trusting explicitly and exclusively in Jesus Christ alone. Coming to one who is seated in heaven. Coming to one who has loved us and gave himself for us and trusting Christ to save our souls. That's what saving faith is. It's where we rest on Christ, where we receive Christ alone for salvation. It's not just believing that Christ is a real figure. It's not just accepting that Christ died on the cross. It's not just acknowledging that Christ is in heaven. All of those things are important. But my friend, saving faith is trusting the salvation of our souls to Christ exclusively. Resting on Him. Alone for salvation. That's how it was with Bartimaeus. He came immediately as well. Verse 50. It says he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. He arose. And the idea is that he arose at once. Bartimaeus did not delay. As soon as he heard this message, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. As soon as he was conscious of this glorious invitation to come to Christ, and this comforting word, as soon as he heard it, and knew that Christ was passing by, Bartimaeus came. I like the words of verse 50. Those last four words, and came to Jesus. You know, he could have heard that invitation. He could have known that Christ was passing by. But until he actually came to Jesus, he was still a blind man. This man came immediately. It was important that he did, for Christ was never to pass that way again. This was his final journey through the city of Jericho. Jesus Christ was going to the city of Jerusalem onto the cross. And therefore, this opportunity for Bartimaeus was a limited one. Christ would not be on that path again. Christ was passing by. Never to return down that particular road. Therefore, Bartimaeus had to seize the opportunity as quickly as possible. He had to act immediately. And my friend, that truth is no less important for those gathered in this house tonight. The opportunity to be saved is not going to last forever. Thank God we are still in a day of gospel opportunity. We are still in a day of saving grace. But it will soon come to an end.
And Jesus Christ is passing by tonight. He is striving by His Spirit tonight. He is calling souls to Himself tonight. He's calling you at this very present time, rise, be of good comfort. He calleth for thee. My friend, Christ is calling you. But what if He was to call no more? What if Christ was to pass by you tonight and never strive in your heart ever again? That's why you need to come tonight. That's why you need to act immediately. That's why you need to respond to the gospel without a moment's delay. Because God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Bartimaeus responded to this gracious call immediately. Notice also he came and left all behind him. He threw away his garments. He, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. Nothing else mattered to him. Here's a man and he's prepared to give up everything in order to receive everything from Christ. That speaks to me of repentance. He had to leave the old behind him as he went to meet with Christ. Notice he came directly to Christ. It says in verse 50, he arose and came to Jesus. He didn't go to the disciples. He didn't go to the scribes or the elders or the Pharisees or the crowd. He certainly didn't go to those who had just previously told him, hold your peace, Bartimaeus. He didn't even go to those who had extended the invitation to him. This man rose and came to Jesus Christ, and he came just as he was. And he believed that Christ could heal him, and so he came to Christ. And he responded to the gracious call. You find a similar call right throughout the Bible. Genesis chapter 7 verse 1, Noah was told to come, thou and thy family, into the ark. Matthew 11 verse 28, the invitation is, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Revelation 22 and 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and he that hath heard, let him say, come, and he that hath thirst, let him come, and whosoever will, let him come and drink the water of life freely. The invitation of the gospel, my friend, is that you would come, that you would come to Christ, that you would come by faith, and that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a personal call. Christ calls you. It's a pressing call. He calls you urgently. And it's a present call. He calls you tonight. But you must come. You must come to Christ, or you'll die without Christ and be lost forevermore. This man recognized the great compassion of Christ. He responded to the gracious call from Christ. He received a glorious cure through Christ. Bartimaeus had nothing to offer the Lord. He was a poor, blinded, benighted sinner. Many despised him. Many looked down upon him. Many dismissed him as a nuisance. He had nothing to offer the Lord. But the Lord received him. Verse 52. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The darkness, the despair. I'm convinced this man was in despair. That's why the Savior's word to him was, be of good comfort. He had no comfort. But Christ says, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And the darkness and the despair and the discomfort and the distress that this man had experienced in his blindness was removed. Bartimaeus was changed. And immediately he received his sight. What a testimony that is to the willingness of Christ to heal. What it is, testimony it is to the fact that he not only healed willingly, he healed immediately. And he healed completely. This man, with all his desperate need, received a glorious cure from Jesus Christ. Blind eyes made to see. The man who had lived in darkness all those days now begins to live in light. That's just how it is in the gospel. Those who come to Christ, those who respond to the call of the gospel, they pass from darkness to light. They pass from death unto life. They pass from a state of being condemned to a state of being saved. And it's instant. It's complete. And Christ is willing to do it. He's willing to save you tonight. Notice lastly here that Bartimaeus revealed a genuine conversion to Christ. There's great proof in verse 52 that he was a changed man. It says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He's now a disciple of the Lord. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. His sight is different. He can now see. Things that were just blackness and darkness and despair to this man, now he can see. And his sight is different. His steps are different. He's now following Jesus Christ. And his society is different. He's with those who follow Christ. His whole life is different. He's a new man. He's a new man with new desires. This man rose and came to Jesus. My friend, listen tonight. That's what you need to do. You can talk about being saved. You can wish that you were saved. You can think about being saved. You can read about being saved. You can ponder what it is to be a Christian. You can envy those who are saved. But until you rise and come to Christ, you never will be saved. It reminds me of the prodigal son down there in the far country. He has wasted his substance with riotous living. Everything he has is gone. There's a famine in the land. He begins to be in want and he goes and joins himself to a citizen of that place and he sends him out to feed the swine. Sin has so ruined his life that the very swine are better off than he is. Because at least somebody gave something to them and no man gave to him. And as he sits there feeding the swine, he begins to think to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare and I perish with hunger? And then he resolves in his heart, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now all of that's very good. But he's still in the far country. All of that kind of thinking is excellent, but he's still in the far country. As he thinks about his father's house and about the bread to spare and about the servants and how well they're looked after, it's all very well, but he's still in the far country. It's only in verse 20 that the change comes when it reads, and he arose and came to his father. That's how it was with Bartimaeus. He heard the call. He knew that Christ was passing by. But it's only when he rose and came to Jesus. My friend, that's the call. That's the command of the gospel to you tonight. Poor, blinded, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, come and welcome to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter how deep you've been in sin, come and welcome to Christ. It doesn't matter how long you've thought about being saved and you're still not saved, come and welcome to Christ. And you will receive your sight immediately. And you'll follow Jesus Christ in the way. Lessons from a blind man. He recognized the great compassion of Christ. Oh, that you would do the same. He responded to the gracious call of Christ. And oh, that you would respond like Bartimaeus. He received a glorious cure from Christ. And there's salvation for your sins, sick soul, tonight. And he revealed a genuine conversion to Christ. He followed Jesus in the way. May that be said of some soul in this meeting. May you come to Christ. And may you come tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We bless Thee, O God, tonight for our time considering Thy great mercy and Thy great grace. And we thank Thee tonight that sinners are invited to come. Aye, Lord, they're called and commanded to come to Jesus Christ. Give souls in this meeting grace to come tonight. Oh, Father in heaven, speak with power. Draw sinners to Thyself, we pray. We ask, Lord, that young people, boys and girls here, would come to Jesus. We ask that parents would come to Christ. We pray, Lord, for those who perhaps are older and are still not saved, that tonight they would rise and come to Jesus. Father, speak with power. We ask of Thee that Thou would work with signs following and bless the preaching of Thy Word. Part us now with Thy blessing. Take us our ways in safety. Grant us, Lord, Thy grace and Thy mercies. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.